Welcome to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Decker. This podcast is dedicated to providing my books in full, unabridged audio format. Look for new episodes every Tuesday. Now, on with the show. Lord of the Inferno, Volume 2 of War of the Fathers. Hello, and welcome back to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. This week we are continuing to read Lord of the Inferno. Last week we read, Bloody Melia, Adar thought. Once Tyr realizes my way to the arches is blocked, he won't need to run. It would take Adar almost a full day to get to the next closest entrance. Tyr and the others would beat him to Rarbon long before he would catch up to them. Adar wondered if Tyr would turn Darren's tablet over to Abel or keep it for himself. Suppressing a growl so as not to further distress the woman and her baby, Adar shook off the dust and stooped to help the struggling mother to her feet. After he had checked to see that the old man was all right, he took off at a run in the direction Kira had gone. And now, Chapter 13. The breeze blew against Soray's face, but she didn't notice as she stared into the fire beneath the pot while taking deep, steady breaths. She had tried to sit at first, but had been too antsy to rest and had paced for a while after that. It was a matter of time until Adar came back. It might be safe to look for her father when Adar returned. She wouldn't take Jorad with her, of course. The two would need to be kept as far away from each other as possible. Maybe after Bark had a chance to calm down, he would be more open to reason, and she would be able to prevail upon him to join them on the trip to Rarbon. The others in her group spoke of Rarbon as if it were a great city that would be able to withstand the Hunway. She hoped they were right, but was trying to not let herself count on it. If Rarbon turned out to be the haven it was purported to be, then the smart thing for her and her father to do would be to go there. It would grate on Bark, but she might even be able to convince him to apologize to Jorad. It wouldn't be a real expression, to be sure, but given how everybody in the group either feared or respected Adar, it would be best to have both Adar and Jorad as allies. Bark's face came to mind, the fear and the betrayal ripping through her as though it was a knife. She sighed as her heart raced and she returned to pacing. Even after reminding herself that Bark had already survived one Hunway invasion, it was a struggle to stop worrying about him. To calm down her nerves, she focused instead on what she could have done differently. 100 different scenarios danced around her mind, but it all came back to an inescapable conclusion. She had let others have too much influence over her. Originally, she had felt like the men in her life were controlling her, but she had decided that was the wrong way to look at it. Shouldn't she be able to make her own decisions regardless of what others were doing? Nobody had held the dagger to her throat and made her do something that hadn't wanted to do. The situation had made the outcomes inevitable. No, she thought, that's wrong too. There isn't anything that can't be changed. If something seems like it had to happen, that didn't mean that it should happen. It doesn't mean that I couldn't have stopped it. I was going along because I was afraid and lacked the skills to survive. I turned off my brain and trusted somebody else to use theirs. Well, she was done with that and wouldn't let that happen again. That water boiling yet? Karn poked his head out of the arch. His calm demeanor had returned, but had his eyes narrowed slightly when he looked at her. A small chuckle rose in the back of her throat, and she was unable to keep it from surfacing. He frowned as she burst out into a fit of laughter. Karn looked weird with his head sticking out of nowhere. It was as if he was coming from a door to another world and looked as though he was standing in a hole in the air. The arch on this side, she didn't have the slightest idea where the arch had opened, was located in the remains of an old brick wall that was covered with vegetation. While she had been waiting for Wes and Leron to get the fire going, Soray had walked around the brick wall and found that every other part of the wall had fallen to the spongy ground, except for those bricks that were associated with the arch. The broken piece of wall looked like it could have been easily pushed over from the other side. She had quickly stepped back from it, afraid that if she got too close it would fall and she'd lose her way back to the others. She was concerned that if the wind picked up it might blow over. Now that's just silly, she thought. If the wind hasn't toppled it by now, this slight breeze isn't any danger. At one time, it had been part of a much larger structure, but there was little other than rubble to prove its existence. Here and there were large moss-covered boulders, but she couldn't be certain if they had been part of what had stood here before. Karn grunted. Sorry. She swallowed down another chuckle and looked away. It's just so funny, seeing you suspended with your head sticking out. Like you're a spirit or something. When Karn did not even crack a smile, Soray looked at the small pot that Leron had propped up over the fire before he and Wes had gone exploring, and was surprised to see that it was indeed boiling. She had gotten lost in her thoughts again. Yeah, she said, it's ready. Not only was it boiling, but the water level was noticeably lower. Using several rags she had scrounged up, she picked up the steaming pot and walked it over to the arch. When Karn saw the water, he looked surprised at the water level and opened his mouth as if to say something. Soray threw him a glare and he snapped his mouth shut. It felt good to stand up for herself, even if she was a little late in showing her backbone today. A small victory, she thought. Hopefully the first of many. Karn stepped out of the arch to allow her in. The temperature within was more than several degrees warmer, and with all the bodies packed in the narrow hallway, she immediately felt as though she were on the verge of suffocating. She had expected with the difference in temperatures there would be a slight breeze coming from outside the arches, but that was not the case. The air was still and smelled of sweat, blood, and body odor. She resisted the urge to smell herself to see if she was contributing to the stench. She was certain she did, and didn't think proving it to herself was going to do her mental state any good. After Liron had opened the arch, he and Wes had tried to get several of the other refugees to follow them out, but they had all refused. Whether it had been fear of the unknown, or they were just too tired to entertain the idea, she did not know. It would have done them all some good to not have the place so packed. She knew there were empty hallways not far from where everybody had congregated. She would have thought the refugees would want to spread out. Perhaps there was some comfort in remaining near one another. Not many of the people took notice of her as she passed, but the few that looked up didn't try to move out of her way. Never mind the scalding pot of water, she thought. Go ahead, make me trip. She arrived at the man with the baby right as she finished the thought and stopped to take several calming breaths before navigating past him. Of all those that had joined them in the arches, she felt sorry for them the most. She hadn't spoken with the man, but had overheard Wes mention the baby was his younger brother. Their mother had been killed by the Hunway. The baby was asleep again, and the young man had his eyes closed as well. She tiptoed by while holding her breath and carefully monitoring the pot. Once she was clear, she let out a sigh, glad that she hadn't awoken either, and that she had managed to not spill water on them. Soray knelt as she placed the pot next to Zarda and touched her lightly on the shoulder. When Zarda looked up, Soray wasn't surprised to see that Zarda's face was covered with sweat. Soray was taken off guard by Zarda's red eyes and the streams of liquid on her face that made it look as though she had been crying. For a long, surreal moment, Soray was unable to move. Everybody cried, even men, though they always did their best to hide it. For some reason that Soray couldn't identify, she had believed that this was something Zarda was not capable of doing. Zarda did not look ashamed as Soray looked away, thinking that even in her tears there was something regal about Zarda's appearance. Is he... Soray's voice caught in her throat, and the feeling of concern for the idiot man that had been held back by all of her other emotions flooded into her. A lump formed in the back of her throat, and she felt her own eyes tear up. She edged past Zarda to get a look at Jorad and was relieved to see his chest moving, and that much of the normal color in his face had returned as well. Zarda took a piece of cloth and dipped it into the steaming water. She then used it to clean around the wound on Jorad's shoulder, even though Soray couldn't see anything that would be a cause for concern. The skin surrounding the cut was beginning to look a little raw, as if it had been cleaned multiple times already. Soray avoided looking at Zarda and tried to keep the skeptical look that was forming off her face. The redeemed woman had admitted she wasn't much good with healing. Perhaps she was continuing to clean Jorad to have something to take her mind off the fact that she didn't know what to do next. Melia! Soray's heart raced, and she realized her fingernails were digging into her palms. No, Zarda said. He's fine. He woke up a while back, and I was able to get some water into him. Do you think he will be all right? Soray slumped a bit where she knelt, annoyed to feel uncertainty about Jorad raise up its head again. He had killed her fellow townsfolk. How could things ever be the same between them? She couldn't deny she felt safer with him around, though. Stop that, she thought. That's just the kind of thing that will keep me from breaking free of him. He did not suffer any broken bones, Zarda said, and it's difficult to say how much blood he lost. One of the people you came in with said much of it came from somebody Jorad fought. If that's true, he might be better off than I'd originally thought. When I first saw him covered in all that blood, she trailed off. Well, the only thing to do now is to give it time and to find him better help than me. Not much else we can do without a surgeon or a healer. The memory of how Thon had pummeled Jorad came back to Soray. She cringed when she thought of how Jorad had stabbed the large man. Why couldn't Jorad just have knocked the man off of him? It might have been an easier situation to handle if Thon hadn't been killed as well. Guru had attacked Jorad. While she had not forgiven Jorad for shooting Guru with a blaster, she knew with time that could change. Jorad had been primed to shoot at anything that threatened him. He had just finished shooting a Hunway. Guru couldn't have chosen a worse time to test Jorad. But that did not make things with Thon any easier. Is Adar back? Soray looked around, hoping to spot Adar until she realized that the question had come from Jorad. Both Zarda and she turned to stare at Jorad. He used the hand of his uninjured arm and shoulder to push himself up and was shivering despite the heat of the room. Lie back down this instant, Zarda put a hand on his chest. I look worse than I feel, he said. Most of the blood wasn't even mine. It came from a bloody... He stopped short when his eyes met Soray's. Instead of finishing the thought, he tried to push Zarda's hand away, but his wounded arm wasn't doing the job. He fixed the glare on Zarda, but she refused to back down. Look, he said, just help me lean up against the wall. Zarda didn't budge. How is your shoulder feeling? Soray couldn't help but respect how Jorad had just given Zarda an order that would have made most men jump. But Zarda had not let it faze her. Jorad's eyes flickered over to Soray, but didn't stay on her. It's fine. I just need time to heal, he said. Soray felt her face flush at the lie. That had been for her benefit. Zarda had been more concerned about dealing with his wounds than learning how they happened. That would not last for long, though. Eventually the truth would come out. If not from Jorad, one of the other townspeople would clear up the matter. Karn had seen Bark stab Jorad in the back. What would he think if he knew that the shoulder wound had come from her father as well? He'll chastise Jorad for letting his feelings for me get in the way, she thought. He'll push Jorad to be done with me. I couldn't blame him if he did. The thought made her squirm. She wasn't committed to Jorad. They hadn't had any formal conversation or designation. It was just more of an understanding that had developed between the two of them. She wanted to be rid of him, but also recognized that breaking things off right now was not the best course of action for her or for her father. You got lucky with the cut on your back, Zarda said. A few inches down and it would have gone right into your burn. She shook her head. It could have been far worse. Soray wondered if she was beat red. It was getting more difficult for her to breathe. Why were you fighting men when there were Hunway about? Zarda asked as she helped him sit up, all the while monitoring his face for any sign of pain. Dredd must have noticed what she was about because he kept his lips together in a tight, thin line while he moved. When he had his back against the wall, he let out a small sigh that became a quiet groan at the end. Zarda frowned. Couldn't it have waited? Jorad closed his eyes and didn't look as though he was going to answer her question. Well? Zarda prompted as Soray felt somebody approach from behind and turned to see Karn peer over her shoulder. He glanced at her. If he was still holding on to any hostility, it was not apparent. I ran into some old friends, Jorad said at last, still not opening his eyes. I did not see Adar come back with the others. Where is he? Ter became separated from your father, Karn said. Jorad looked up when Karn spoke, his eyes narrowing at the mention of Ter. When I met up with Ter, we were both too busy running for our lives to wait for him. We have not had a chance to talk since we got back. Did they fight? Jorad asked. Karn looked around to make sure that nobody could overhear. When he noticed several people looking their way, he glared at them until they turned their attention elsewhere. Karn moved closer until he was less than a foot away and lowered his voice. Probably, he said. I found Ter right after he'd come through a window of the town hall. When I asked if he was pushed out, he did not reply. Jorad frowned. Did he say anything about Darren's tablet? They couldn't find it. That much I did get out of him while he ran. The window that he came through belonged to the city archives. I saw that for myself. Soray thought of how Ter had been walking with his hand clutched in his pocket earlier. She almost brought it up but stopped. She wasn't in any position to go throwing around accusations. Another thought crossed her mind as well. Given what she now knew about Jorad, she couldn't as easily disregard the stories she had heard about him and Adar. If Ter had tried to kill Adar, there had to be a reason why. Since there was the possibility she might at some point find herself at odds with Jorad, particularly if she ended things with him, it wouldn't be smart to wreck an opportunity to forge a new alliance. Who knew but that one day she might need Ter's help? She couldn't let it get out that she was spreading rumors about him. At least not until she had more compelling evidence and could see that passing it on to Jorad was beneficial to her as well. She was surprised by her thought, but realized there was something to it. Until she knew more about Jorad, or had the appropriate amount of time necessary to sort out her feelings towards him, it would be wise to keep some of her cards hidden. Jorad's face was getting more of its color back by the moment. He could have stood if Zarda had not been watching over him like a hawk about to pounce. Has anybody tried to open the arch yet? Jorad asked. Karn and Zarda looked at one another. Karn shrugged, looking at the arch as if it might open at any moment. Soray thought of Hunwei filing into the hallway and shuddered as she remembered how much she'd wanted to open it earlier. It wouldn't have done much good anyway, she thought. Liran did the exact same thing as me, and the arches worked for him. Perhaps it only works for people from Rabban. Her face was turning red again. She could feel the heat on her cheeks. She looked around and was glad to see that nobody had noticed. Since she was trying to be better about taking care of herself, she needed to take better control of her emotions as well. She had been waiting to learn to fight until she arrived at Rabban, where she intended to enlist in the Redeem armies. But that had been foolish on her part. She should have started before they'd left Neberon, when Jorad had warned her about the coming of the Hunwei. Or she should have taken the responsibility for herself after they'd fled Neberon. Or the time when the Hunwei had almost killed them and she'd witnessed Zarda's strength and resolve. She had been ashamed that day of how she had reacted while Zarda had watched Karn face down a Hunwei. That had been when she had decided she needed to enlist in the Redeem armies. But she had not realized she had subconsciously decided that meant she'd wait to learn to protect herself. That had been a mistake. She should have started learning immediately. Zarda had been happy to answer questions and talk about her time with the Redeem. Soray should have taken greater advantage of the opportunity that presented. Well, she would start now. We should still give it some time, Zarda said. The Hunwei were right on your tail as you guys made it in. The fact Adar hasn't shown up yet means the way is not clear. Once it is, I'm sure he'll come. In the meantime, you need to get some rest. We need to open the door, Jorad said. Bark is still out there. If the Hunwei have not got to him yet, he will need our help. Soray was taken aback. Wasn't this the man who had just killed two men without giving it a second thought? Bark had tried to kill Jorad, twice. What did Jorad have to gain by insisting they look for her father? Jorad looked at Soray. She flushed. It was somewhat obvious, wasn't it? She should have got there faster. Attributing the misstep to her fatigue, she was glad for the effect she had on him. It meant her father had been spared, and Jorad was willing to risk the exposure to the Hunwei to rescue him. I can use that, she thought. Perhaps I'm not so helpless after all. The thought stopped her cold, but she stamped it down. If it meant she got her father back, she would use Jorad and his feelings for her. All of a sudden, she felt sweat dripping down the arch of her back. Her hands were clammy. Zarda stared at Jorad, her eyes slits and her mouth firm. Jorad, Zarda said. We should wait it out. Bark had his chance to come with us, and he chose to go the other way. I owe it to Soray, he said. The sincerity in his voice cut like a knife to Soray's heart, but she refused to let it bleed. She had to be strong. She needed to think of Jorad as an asset. This was for her father, but it was also for herself. She would do what was necessary to survive. She nodded her head towards Jorad and gave him what she hoped was an appreciative smile. He moved as if to stand, and Zarda put a gentle but firm hand on his good shoulder. Melia, he said. The man never liked me, and he watched me kill people he's known from when they were boys. If it weren't for me, he would be here right now. Zarda growled. If it weren't for you, none of us would be here right now. You need to help more people than just this one man. She looked at Soray. It's true. Soray bristled, but looked away under Zarda's stare. She will take me for a weak-kneed woman for sure, she thought. She stared back defiantly at Zarda, but her gesture was lost, and Zarda had already turned her attention back to Jorad. Get out of my way, Jorad said. His voice was low, but there was no mistaking the hostility. Karn, Zarda said. This fool isn't going to back down. Could you clear everybody away from the arch? The Melia-cursed idiot isn't going to relax until he's put everybody at risk to prove to Soray how much he likes her. She spoke to Jorad. Don't move. Soray froze and opened her mouth to speak, embarrassed. She was glad there was not a mirror nearby. She doubted the hue her skin had taken on would be flattering, and she thought she'd been red before. She wasn't certain when Wes and Liran had returned from exploring, but it couldn't have been at a worse time. Wes had his head turned away from her, but Liran looked on with a glimmer in his eye, clearly feeling a little entertained by the situation. She imagined him telling a story about this to his friends in Rabban and felt her stomach turn a little. It was kind of Jorad to be concerned about her father. She didn't want him to make a big scene about it, though. But she wasn't about to make him stop. It's worth it all, she thought, if it brings Dad back to safety. Once Karn had cajoled or dragged away anybody that was nearby the arch, Zarda approached and looked back at Jorad, who had brought up his blaster. Liran had been sent for Terror and Tarnor while Karn got everything ready. They stood to either side of the arch, prepared with their blasters as well. All told, there were now 5 blasters pointed at the arch, prepared to take down any Hunwei they might find on the other side. Even Jorad held a blaster from where he sat on the floor. We're putting our single largest advantage against the Hunway at risk, Zarda said. You know that, right? Soray didn't look away from the arch as Jorad nodded. Sighing, Zarda reached up and touched the top of the arch. Soray braced herself for a barrage of Hunway and was surprised when nothing happened. Frowning, Zarda tried it again to the same effect. From the corner of her eye, Soray saw Jorad stand. It was clear he was still in pain, but he moved quickly enough that by the time Zarda realized what he had done, he was already halfway to the arch. Zarda gave him a dangerous look that would have stopped another man in his tracks. Soray wasn't certain Jorad saw it, or perhaps he intentionally didn't look because Soray had seen Jorad wither under such a look from Zarda before. The rustle and the noise that had been coming from the townspeople subsided. Even Liron, who normally didn't seem too affected by what was happening around him, stared as Jorad reached up with his thumb and swiped the top of the arch. Melia's 9 bloody burning hells, Jorad said, when nothing happened. Soray's hope for seeing her father fizzled. What could have taken out the arch? That's it for this week. I hope you have enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for another installment of the Dan Decker Books Podcast. One last thing before you go. Sign up for my newsletter at dandeckerbooks.com, and you will receive a free ebook copy of War of the Fathers. The text, audio, and music for this show are all copyrighted by Dan Decker, all rights reserved. This podcast is published by Xander Revolutions LC.